All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Playoff like fever that. Is alive and well at Sherwood Ford the Giant. Welcome into today's edition of Oilers Nation every day, live from Sherwood Ford the Giant, a playoff edition, a playoff game day edition of the show. It is going to be a loaded up one as well. We're going to be going well past an hour today. We got our pal Jason Demers swinging by. We got Dan Greenspan from NHL.com is going to join us. So a couple of guests on today's show as well. But the big story, it's the title of the show, playoff hockey. You boys fired up?
Oh, I thought it was going to be that I got a new t-shirt. My Oil Up t-shirt is in, and I may know what you're all thinking. Usually, typically going with the classic black hoodie and different colored joggers, but today I thought I'd go a t-shirt. Sun's out.
Playoff mode. Why not? Why not? If you want to look as fresh as Liam, head to nationgear.ca. If you want to look as fresh as Jay is right now, I don't think you can. That's a good one. We are very excited to be teaming up with our friends at Boston Pizzas. We're going to be getting to the BP's playoff report a little bit later on. But it's been 30 years since a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup. For some teams, a lot longer. What would it take for Canadian hockey fans to set aside their differences and work together to end this drought? Is it their team or nothing? Or could you get behind a rival under certain circumstances? People can come on the Oilers.
Well, we'll go the deepest, so it doesn't even matter.
All right. I know we're having a little bit of a mic thing with Jay right now, but Liam and I can hear him. Liam and I can hear him just fine. We're trying. I'm doing my absolute best. I can hear you too. I know the chat just can't hear you. All right. Well, we'll get that sorted out behind the scenes a little bit. But first, let's get into things. One of the big stories today is obviously going to be the Oilers lineup for this one. So let's start the show with the Service Credit Union lineup report. The month of April is almost over, and that means the Service Big Share contest is almost over as well. It is your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. You can save in a daily banking account, fast track your savings with a high yield savings account, and all of it, every $500 gets you five entries into the Service Big Share contest. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. Liam, the lineup tonight for the Oilers is set and finalized. What do you make of the way Chris Knobloch is throwing this one out here? The big highlights are obviously Kane down on the fourth line. Hollywood stays in. Maybe we should start at the top, though. Henrique up with Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely just been playing him up there the last little bit, right? So it's similar to when he was, like, Nugent and him are kind of similar, right? In the sense of, like, just smart hockey players. So having McDavid there, I've said it before, I like the face-off element with Henrik that allows McDavid to be outside of the face-off circle, and then he can attack right away. So I do like that line.
Jay, what do you think of Henrik up on the top line?
I don't know. Am I allowed to talk?
Can you hear me? Well, I can still hear you. I just changed you to another thing. Yeah, so.
But I think one thing too about that second line is if Fogo can bring what he brought the last two games when like against Arizona and Colorado, like he was buzzing. I know the role's a lot different because he was basically driving the line, but he was playing so well. I thought he was amazing, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Warren Fogle. Yeah, totally. We're going to do a thing later on, kind of outlining five reasons to believe the Oilers can do this again and beat the LA Kings for a third consecutive year. But one of them, Liam, I think is Warren Fogle. And just the fact that, I mean, last year he was an afterthought. He was a guy who stapled in the bottom six, who the Oilers were lucky if they got a goal every 10 games out of Warren Fogle for the most part. And this year, he's a guy that's turned into a legitimate 20 goal scorer. He's turned into a guy who can contribute on a game in, game out basis. And even when he's not scoring, and granted, this is something that I think with Fogle started to come along a little bit later on in the season last year and into the playoffs. But even when he's not scoring, the effort's there all the time from Fogle. Like, you notice him on a shift-to-shift basis. He's got this willingness to play physically and things of that nature. So I think Fogle, again, is a game changer for this top six and is kind of part of the reason why you can sit here and look at Evander Kane and go, with him out of the line or with him pushed further down the lineup, I'm still not worried about what we're going to get in the top six from the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, and I think I've been the leader of the Warren Fogle top six fan club for a while now, and thankfully for me, it's worked out pretty well on that right side. And he's earned every opportunity to be there, right? And like having Perry come in as well and do a good job on the third line, like that right side is looking a lot better than what it was at the start of the season when it was basically Zach Hyman and a questionable Warren Fogle. You didn't really know what you were going to get. But yeah, he's earned his opportunity up there. And I'm actually quite excited to see him in the playoffs because I thought he was good last season against Vegas when everyone else fell off a cliff. Now he has his top six chance. What is he going to be? Is it fair to say he might be the X factor? Like, in the guy of like the unexpected hero, we'll call it. The unsung hero, we'll call him that.
X factor is Connor McDavid.
Yeah, for sure. But that's, we're never allowed to give those answers.
Yeah, you don't want to be too basic with everything.
I'm going to say Fogle gets the Oilers' first goal of the playoffs. Stand by my man.
Oh, I like that. Maybe a little preview to our Betway bets of the game, which we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. We're going to get Liam's, we're going to get our Jay's audio sorted out here in just a minute.
Still quiet, but better.
Quiet, but better is what we're hearing. So, well, I know you can't. Well, and yeah.
Yo.
No, we'll
turn him off.
Everyone else is Liam and I apparently sound fine, so I don't know what the hell's going on here, but we'll keep working on it, Liam. The rest of the Oilers lineup for tonight. Oh, there you go. Yeah, let the people know what BP's is here. I mean, as if your sweater doesn't do that enough. Anyways, the rest of the Oilers lineup is as follows. The third line, Dylan Holloway stays in with Ryan McLeod and Corey Perry. That was an experiment that I was intrigued to see over the last five games of the season, call it, but I wasn't sure if it was actually going to lead to Chris Knobloch going through and following through changing his mind when it comes to the way this top nine was going to look. Like, I think the betting odds would have been on Evander Kane being right back on that third line for the Edmonton Oilers. I think Dylan Holloway has a chance to be, you know, again, if we're not allowed to call him an X factor, I think he's a guy who's gotten better and better and better as he's gone on. And I don't think he's going to be too afraid of the moment. I think Dylan Holloway is going to find a way to be a meaningful contributor for this team in the playoff run. And for years, we've talked about an Oilers team that, you know, never get scoring. I mean, outside of the top six for sure. Last year, it was outside of the top two in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And I look at this lineup that's on our screen right now, and I'm going, every line has an offensive playmaker, an offensive driver on it, if you want to call it that. I think part of it is Evander Kane being at his best, but the top nine specifically, all three of those lines have shown us that they can score goals for this team. And I think, you know, a lot of people are pointing to the LA Kings right now. And, oh, they got Pierre-Luc Dubois this year and Quentin Byfield's taking a step forward. But to sit here and say this is just the same old Edmonton Oilers is also a bit of a mistake, in my opinion, because I think this top nine is more ready to produce than the top nine we had a year ago.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think on Holloway, he has to be at his best because he's the easiest player to take out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if he... a one bad game, it's so easy just to yank him and say Evander Kane's going to play in that position, and we'll go back to Brown and Yanmark on the fourth line. So I fully expected him to bring it all, because quite frankly, he has no choice but to bring everything, right? And he's been playing really, really well, scoring goals, creating chances, being physical. So yeah. I think he's ready for the moment. And being next to a Perry and McLeod, we've seen that line have some success as well, even before Holloway got called back up to the team. I'm ready for playoff Holloway. Oh, you want to talk?
Oh, Jay wants to give a take on Holloway.
You know what I'm most excited about in this lineup is the third line.
Yeah.
And it's for, it's for many reasons. Holloway's earned a shot. We've talked about the mentorship that Perry can provide Holloway. Now he can do it in real time on the same line. You've got Perry as Perry's going to be a factor on that line. And you got those two guys that can buzz, and Dylan Holloway can hit like a freight train. And Corey Perry can clean up that mess. You don't think that makes that line more of a factor? Like, that to me has got me the most excited. And then if the experiment doesn't work, Evander Kane is still in the lineup. You just move him up, make the switch, and we can course correct if that doesn't work. But I am very bullish. Yes, I'm drinking the playoff Kool-Aid. It's game one, baby. This is the most exciting time. This is the most exciting time because you can speculate till the cows come home.
Everyone is very excited that you have arrived on the show. Who was it that said, Dry said, from the ashes like a phoenix, he rises. Patrick said, welcome to the pod, Jay. Chad is in with an interesting take, and it's going to tie in to our Sherwood Ford Giant question, but he came in and said 50% Kane is better than no Kane as long as he's not a liability defensively. And that gets to, we're out at Sherwood Ford the Giant right now, so we're going to ask the Giant hard-hitting questions. Liam, does Evander Kane have it in him to be a good fourth line winger for the Edmonton Oilers? I think it's a fascinating question. And I think there's even a conversation to be had about the fact that he goes in front of the media yesterday and in the same, and this is what Jason Greger wrote at OilersNation.com in his game notes too, on the same conversation or in the same interview press conference where he's talking about how his minutes have declined this year and all of that. He brings up that he's dealing with something. He's had this sports hernia injury, which, if you have followed the NHL for any amount of time, it's pretty much the first time a player has brought up specifically what his injury is ahead of the playoffs. And Evander Kane also says he's been dealing with it pretty much all year, immediately contradicting himself from what he said after the Ottawa game when he goes, no, I'm healthy. There's nothing bugging me. Okay, well, Chris Knobloch said it was just an injury or it was a maintenance day for you. So which was it, Evander Kane? Have you been dealing with the sports hernia all year, or do you want the narrative that you were healthy scratched against the Ottawa Senators, which you were happy to parade out a number of weeks ago? I look at Evander Kane as a guy right now who's not fully bought in.
I mean, it's hard not to think that too, right? Like those comments, like you said. To answer your question, do I think he can be a good fourth line winger? I think one thing that will expose him if he's not is how hard Janmark and Sam Carrick both work. So if he's not working at that same
work, it'll stand out.
Right? It'll be very obvious. So I think he has to, right? And that line, they can produce some offense. They're not just guys you throw out there for fun. Like, they've got some offense to them. So what's Sam Carrick have 10 goals this season? Halfway to Evander Kane almost. So yeah. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll play some shifts with McDavid. I can see McDavid going down there, playing between him and Janmark a couple of times, get things rolling. So maybe that's kind of part of the deal as well if he goes down there. And also, if it's not going the Oilers' way tonight, Evander Kane can elevate up the lineup too. You know, it's good to have that weapon.
Yeah. Jay, if you want to take Liam's mic and offer up a take on this bad boy, what do you make? Can Evander Kane be a good fourth liner? There are some people in the chat who think I'm bang on with what I said. There are some people like Daphne who says there's more context to that. People saying I'm trying to run him out of town. But I one time you can sit there and say, okay, maybe he's trolling and that's just who he is. But I think, again, we kind of know who Evander Kane is, and now he's done this whole thing a number of times this season where he comes out and he wants to make it about himself in the media.
So there's a lot of things I can say, and I'm choosing to drink the Kool-Aid because it's game one excitement. So I actually think this is a tremendous opportunity for Evander Kane. He likes the spotlight.
Yeah.
There is no greater spotlight than the playoffs. So if he goes out and makes a big hit, that's something that's as good as a goal from a fan perspective. So here's the time to really be the showman. So I'm really hoping that part of kind of, his persona or personality. Like, I think I really hope that activates and motivates him to go out there and just perform and put on that show and have the fans chanting his name. Because ultimately, that's probably what he wants. And there's no greater way than doing that than just rocking some Kings and getting the building buzzing, crashing the net, probably going to score if you play that game. It just always seems to work that way. And he's playing with capable wingers as well. So it's quasi like a third line-ish. And hopefully we do roll those lines. We've talked about this many times. I think it's very important that we roll our lines to buy the first two lines a little bit more time, a little bit more air, literally, to regain, to be able to go out there and be their best when they're playing against the best matchups that the other team's going to throw at them. So I'm hoping he's taking this opportunity to show his star power. And that's all I'm going to say on the matter.
And if you remember back to a couple of years ago, he scored the empty net goal, flashed up the seven. He led the playoffs in goals. So it was tied for the lead in playoffs in goals. And the Oilers didn't even make the cup final that year. He was one of their best players. He's one of the biggest reasons why they were able to go to the conference finals that year. So he's a massive player. And you guys in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat and the YouTube, you have heard me say this so many times, but when he's at his best, he's so high up the list in terms of impactful players on the Edmonton Oilers. And when he's doing this stuff, he's an unnecessary distraction. And he's a guy who likes the headlines to be about him. And I don't think that's unfair. I don't think that is leaving out any sort of context, if you want to say that to me in the chat. We have seen enough of this from Evander Kane. And hopefully, Jay, you're being optimistic about it. And I'll buy into that as well. And Dackey says, we need the swagger. If this is the start of Evander Kane's kind of swagger, and this is him getting into some sort of a zone and mode that he feels like he needs to be in to be successful, then let's go. Hopefully that ends up working out here. But if he's just going to sit here after every game and go in front of the media and be like, how can you saying the injury now? Okay. No reason to do that other than you're comfortable and you want there to be a narrative out there that Evander Kane's not at his best. He's hurt right now. And talking about your lack of opportunity so far this season, he is painting a perfect path for him to be unproductive in the playoffs and to be able to sit there and go, I'm hurt and they didn't play me. And that's my concern. I hope I am wrong on that. And PCE says in the chat, it's playoff time. Kane needs to cut out the BS. 100%. I want double Rolex swagger of Evander Kane. I think that's cool as hell. What I don't want is a guy who's going to make it all about himself and a guy who's, I think right now, lining up excuses for why he might not be at his best.
Yeah, I am with you. I think too, though, like if he's not playing well, then now Knobloch also has the ammunition of like, well, he's hurt. I don't have to play him. He's hurt. I'll play Connor Brown, which, I mean, definitely different players, but at least Connor Brown's going to go out there and give you something, right?
Yeah. Jake is in and says, I agree with Tyler, and I don't say that often. Nuge Lover says, the theory online is that it's reverse psychology. He wants LA to target him instead of McDavid and Draisaitl. It's hilarious, but I kind of hope it's true. I don't think the LA Kings Yeah.
Jay said it's fans fiction at its finest.
Yeah.
Also, I would like to put something out there to manifest an Evander Kane successful night.
Okay.
The light goal is 91.
There you go. I like that. And I hope he has a monster playoffs, man. I'd love to sit here and to an extent kind of eat my words on the whole thing. It's just I'm feeling uneasy about that heading into the playoffs or heading into game one of this series against the LA Kings. It is round three between Edmonton and LA in round one, if that makes any sense. And I think it kind of does. Our pal Jason Demers is going to swing by in a little bit. But one of my favorite things that we do here at The Nation, or one of my favorite pieces of content that gets produced throughout the year, is Kennedy's playoff hype video. This thing gives you goosebumps. And I actually haven't had a chance to watch it yet this year. Is it?
Yeah.
So then should we give the viewers a chance to take a peek at it?
Yeah, I'm in it.
Liam's in it? Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm sold.
I don't know. There's a lot of little, it ends with the goat.
It does, yes.
Let's take a watch at Kennedy's our Oilers Nation playoff hype video.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, there you go. Great work by Kennedy.
Well,
Liam,
done.
Your thoughts on your cameo?
Well, I think it's good. It shows my excitement. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I was celebrating in that moment? An Evander Kane goal was what I was cheering for in that moment when we were down at the Mullet. So farewell to the Mullet. Well, you just were.
Yeah, I was there last week. It was...
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry at all. It was very awkward, though. I've talked about this on a couple of pods now, but like, obviously the organization wasn't going to... They weren't going to like acknowledge it, but all the fans were.
It was weird.
But Arizona just kept going like with their in-game presentation, being like, thanks for coming to Fan Appreciation Night, celebrating a great year at Mullet Arena. And it was like, oh my God, this is so bad. Like,
how about the press conference with the owner and Bettman on, what was it, Saturday? Yeah. And then Bettman like stopped him halfway through, like literally grabbed his arm and was like, we're good.
We're good. No more of this. It was super, super awkward. I am very happy for one that that we are talking about the playoffs and not talking about that situation anymore. And yeah, sure, for now. All right. I don't think people can hear you. I don't think you can be heard. So if you have a question for our guest, you're going to have to steal Liam's mic to ask it. Yeah.
What? I don't want to say the word. Okay.
All right. Let's get out to the Star Mechanical guest line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find out more about what's made them one of Edmonton's most trusted plumbing and heating companies for the last 20 years by visiting them online at starmechanical.ca. Former NHLer, NHL Network analyst Jason Demers joining us to talk a little playoff hockey. Jason, how much were you loving the first weekend of playoff action?
Oh, just some great games, but it's more importantly, it's Oiler time, baby. Let's ride.
Yeah, fucking let's go. Rides.
But there's been some good, it's kind of everything I expected. You know, the Jets-Colorado game, just a wild affair. Rangers stomping all over the Capitals, Carolina handling business against Islanders, and then the Toronto and Boston drama starting early. So, you know, not a great start for them, and pressure mounts slowly in Toronto while Boston kind of just cruises. So hopefully Nylander's back tonight and can kind of help them out. And then, you know, the other series have kind of just, everything's just kind of flowed the way I thought it would so far. And a lot of my predictions are looking good so far, so I'm excited about that.
Let's dig into this Oilers-Kings series, part three between these two teams. Third straight year they're meeting in round one. Our friends over at Betway have the Oilers at -225 favorites, which implies a 69% chance that they win this series. Higher or lower, or is that number just right for you?
I'd say a little bit lower. I'd give it like a 60%. Listen, they should win the series, but I always pressures different markets completely. And that's always going to be the thing that hinders Canadian markets is the pressure in which the media puts on players, which again, that comes with the territory. You got to be able to manage that. And, you know, LA has significantly less pressure on them. they're probably coming into this as the underdogs again. No one's really talking about them, and they're, you know, the game they're going to play. There's no surprises there. They're not going to throw any wrinkles at you, and Edmonton's got to be ready to go. So 60%, I think, is what I'm looking at, because honestly, it's going to come down to which goal is hot, because either one has shown they can get hot and they can get cold. And whichever one gets hot is going to win this series. You know, last year, Skinner out-battled Korpisalo. And if Talbot or Rittich comes in and does the same to Skinner, that's going to be the make and break of this series, I think. It's you're going to know what you're going to get out of that offense from both teams. You know, they got some good offensive weapons both sides. The defense is kind of, I would give it a net even. You know, they got some good players in the back end in LA, and so does Edmonton. I think they've done a lot. You know, Ekholm and Bush going at full tilt is a good top pairing. And then on the other side, you got Doughty and Mike Anderson. So I think it's very, very tight match through the lineup. They obviously think they have the edge offensively, but, you know, that structure of the Kings is, we all know what it's going to be. It's a 1-3-1. They got to get through it. They got to not get frustrated, because LA is not going to change their system. They're going to get tighter and tighter. But it just begins and ends with the goaltending on both sides. So whoever gets hot is going to be the team that wins. So I put it, I think, on Twitter that I have Edmonton at 7, maybe 6, but it's one of those that could easily go LA's way too.
But you're talking about the pressure then of like the others going in as, you know, 2 years in a row they've beat them, looking through it 3 times. What's that feeling like going into a series as the favorite?
It's a good feeling. I think confidence-wise, they know that they can beat this team, and they know that they have the capabilities. And you know that LA is going to be desperate. So, you know, again, there's no surprises on the Edmonton side. You know, they know what they're getting. They shouldn't come out of game one with a loss. They should win this game tonight, and there should be one of those comfortable games, you know. But if they come out and get surprised and aren't ready, you know, it becomes really scary. You know, this is obviously, we know the percentages when you win game one, you win the series. This is just, and it seems to have become more and more apparent recently. You know, when I started, it never really was a thing, but now it seems like you win game one and you're off to the races, and it just provides such a mental edge. And I think it's what the boys need this game more than LA does, because it'll really kind of quell the Edmonton media a little bit and take the pressure off. Because if they go out and lose this game, it is going to be bonkers. And I wasn't particularly happy about the way that they handled Skinner to end the season. Mm-hmm. I know everybody's thinking that, and you know, he's tough mentally, but I haven't questioned too much what a Knobloch's done. I think he's done a great job, but I just think that missed the mark. I think leaving him out to dry when you need his confidence brimming. And listen, they didn't have a great schedule to end the season of 3-4 nights when they didn't have to really play for anything. So it's like, how do you manage it? But it's one of those, I would have much rather see him in Arizona and then give Calvin the last game of the season on the back-to-back in Colorado. Because, I mean, what's his mentally, what's he feeling after getting just absolutely shelled and left out to dry? I think he'll be fine. I think it'll be a moot point, but I don't like taking any kind of chances that late in the season.
But on the Skinner thing, you're right. That was really weird that they did that. Weird. It was such a bad lineup. How much influence would Skinner have on that decision? Like, could he go into Knobloch's room and be like, I actually don't want to play in front of this team right now?
No, I don't think because you also, that probably gives even a worse look if you do that. I think, and I'm sure they had conversations. So he probably chose that because they probably brought him and picks in and said, what do you want to do? This is how we want to split it up. You're not playing both, obviously, but you're going to play one. Do you want the first one or the second one? And he might have just been like, I want Colorado. I want a good feeling against a team that's kind of playing for something over Arizona, who, you know, in the Arizona game was their last game at Mullet. That's why I kind of thought they'd play him, because you knew that they were going to come out hard, Arizona, and it was going to be like a big game for them. And it would have been a nice game to get him tested. Like Colorado, you didn't know which way they were going to come out because it was kind of set with them as well. So maybe he wanted that because he wanted like a non descript game where he knew that no one was going to drive the net and be an idiot, and he can kind of get through and feel the puck a little bit. But yeah, in front of the team they had, I would have much rather see them rest a bunch of guys in Arizona, and then if they're going to play Skinner the last game, then play everybody in Colorado and get them ready for game one. So
you mentioned a win in game one coming and calming down the Edmonton media a little bit. One guy that really has the media and the fan base fired up right now is Evander Kane. He came out, said he's been dealing with a sports hernia thing all year, and we joked it might be the first time in NHL history a player has come out during the playoffs and said exactly what his injury is. You know, he's talked about his ice time a lot so far this year. And now I get the conversation we were having in the back and forth with us in our YouTube chat right now is kind of, is this Evander Kane lining up some excuses because he knows he's on the fourth line and he's not going to be able to contribute? Or is this classic Evander Kane and there's nothing to be worried about because, you know, he does this media thing a lot, and more often than not, as a playoff guy for the Oilers, he's come through. Where do you come out on kind of the way he's handled things in the media and what the Oilers could get from Kane in this playoff series?
Well, it's such a unique situation, but not unique, because we kind of know this is the kind of way it goes with Evander. And, you know, when he's on, he's one of the most dominant players, but not one of the most, you know, he's a very dominant player and can affect a game. But if he's mentally checked out, it's never a good thing and not good for your team. So I more kind of take it as I was like, he had a hernia all year and we didn't put him on the IR and pull Vegas. And I kind of read some of that. I'm like, we didn't go get a big player with that $5 million. I'm like, what are we thinking here? I'm like, Kenny, the guy was saying he was dealing with an injury. Just let him rest the last month and have him come back for playoffs. But, you know, a sports hernia, depending on the severity, like I know a lot of guys that have played with him and it's painful, but, you know, it's one of those things that there's a lot of guys that have it, and it's not like something that an other team can attack, because it's more of just you when you're hitting and kind of twisting. And so I'm sure he'll be okay. I think he might, you know, he might be setting excuses for himself, but he might also be setting a scene to be like, listen, I'm a warrior and look at what I'm playing through, and I'm going to go be the best version of myself out there. And that's the version I'm hoping is coming out. I'm hoping not. He's just going to lay an egg and then be like, well, I had a hernia, so this is that. But to be honest with all this, like, I think they're in a way better spot than they've been in recent years because of the depth they have now. That's the thing people are missing, is like, Dylan Holloway came in and played way better than he has in the past. And I think it allows you the opportunity to be like, hey, Dylan's back. He's playing good. He's got confidence. He's flying around the ice. He's making it a hard case. So we might not need to lean on Evander if he's injured as much. And Evander can come in and give good minutes and kind of hit and do his thing. And if he's mad that he's on the fourth line and doesn't want to play, well, we have backup. So it's not like we're missing anything. So, and it'll just be kind of his decision if he wants to go all out or not. So I don't think it's, you know, in past years, it's like, oh God, you know, we need Evander so bad because the depth is lacking, but it's not lacking this year. Like, they're deep. They're deeper than they've been. And you look at this lineup and, you know, Connor Brown can come in as well and slide in, and who's played better as of late. And you, even if you want to make your fourth line just a grinder line and Evander's too hurt to go, you can put in Connor Brown, Adam Ernie, and you can kind of just tell those guys you're going to play 8 minutes, but just run around. Look at that line in Nashville, that McCarron line that just kind of creates havoc. It's you could build something like that. So I think it's nothing to worry about. He might also be taking a lot of the pressure off of the rest of the team by putting it on himself, and we're missing something completely. And that's what I hope it is. So, you know, obviously he's an important piece. If they want to win, they need him scoring. So, but I think it's not as worrisome because of the depth they have and possess this year over recent years.
You mentioned that Dylan Holloway has come into the lineup, and I think when he came up, we all just assumed it was going to be a six game audition and he wouldn't likely play game one. But what have you seen from Holloway in this six game stretch that he maybe wasn't doing earlier in the season?
Controlled aggression, which when he came in, when I played with him a little bit in Bakersfield and got to know him as a kid, just a great kid. He wants to be the best, like a sponge, wants to learn. He's a super humble individual. And I think he just got caught in between roles and he just kind of didn't know if he was supposed to be a top six guy. And we kind of talked about it last time, like adaptability is so important for the young kids, especially, you know, a player like Zegras or Carlson or Bedard that gets put into these organizations that have no players around them. It's really easy to continue to play your game because there's nobody vying for your job and you're kind of the guy. And a lot of these young kids come out of junior, these high touted prospects, and they need, they're only used to playing 20, 22 minutes a game being first power play. Then they come into a great organization with a team that's competing for a Stanley Cup. Now you're playing 10 minutes a night and you have to figure out how to produce within that 10 minutes. So as a kid, you kind of go, well, I have to do something. So I have to either run around or I got to score when I get one chance, and they create turnovers, they make mistakes, they run out of position, and then they lose their opportunity. So it's really for them just figuring out where they fit. And it's a tough thing to do is to kind of, because you have to look at yourself in the mirror and take the ego out of it as an athlete. And you can't be like, listen, oh, woe is me. I'm not playing 21 minutes. I'm not playing with Connor. But it's like, no, you got to make the best of your situation. And I think this time around, he figured it out and he came up, played with controlled aggression, used his skill when he had the opportunity, but he finished his hits. He was smart defensively, which is going to get you more opportunities with a coach because they know they can trust you. You're not going to give up scoring chances against. And he just provides another layer on that third line that they've needed. And I think with McLeod and Corey Perry, I mean, it's a great line in the playoffs. And that's one of those X factor lines that can shoot the lights out. And we're looking back, come round two, and we're like, they're pacing Connor and Leon in points because they're providing this at 5-on-5 scoring because they're just providing this depth and they're getting the better matchups.
Hey, obviously a lot of your career playoff games came out at the Shark Tank, which is just, you know, an electric atmosphere when you guys were going on runs. But were there any road rinks you rolled into for playoff series where you kind of sat there and were like, holy shit, this is intimidating?
Chicago was the best one I played in. Man, we played Chicago. We got swept, but it was a much closer series than a sweep. I think we handled them. We caught Antti Niemi in his prime and he stymied us, but that building was insane and was absolutely shaking. But it's hard to compare to the Shark Tank. That building in playoffs is something out of a movie. You can't even hear yourself think. You can't even talk to anybody on the bench because it's so loud from minute one to the end. It's like you're at a soccer game. But that was a big one. And St. Louis was pretty fun too. When I was with Dallas, that was a good time. Minnesota had its moments, you know, Minnesota when they got revved up. That was a good little time too as well. But, and then obviously, I mean, Joe Louis as a young kid, I got to play there 2 years in a row at Joe Louis when they had, you know, and I was lucky enough to eliminate those fuckers 2 years in a row. So I got to be part of teams and contribute on teams that eliminated Lindstrom and Rafalski and, you know, Zetterberg, Datsuk. And it was such a cool feather in my cap to have in my career. But that arena, man, when it's bumping at Joe Louis, the old Joe Louis, and you feel like you're playing a 7-on-5 because there's an extra player out there and they're flying around with Datsuk. And it was something special to play in that rink twice. So I'm so grateful to have done that and beat them twice. So no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal there. All right, last one I got for you. Just wrap it up with one more Kings Oilers question here. Give me someone outside of McDavid and Draisaitl who you think is going to become a positive storyline for the Oilers. Who's someone you're looking at and going, they are built to make an impact in the playoffs?
I honestly, there's a multitude of guys. I'd love to see Henrique kind of come out and show people. I think it's somebody he slept on, but I'm going to go with the guy that has the ability to do it and he plays a hard-nosed game and he can score and skill. And I think this is a tailor-made team for him is Warren Fogle.
Ooh,
Warren Fogle is it's kind of, this is a kind of team built for him. And I think he's going to have a good impact, and he's had a good year this year, and he's been building towards something. And I think, and this is where you make your money. So I think he's going to have a good playoff series, but I'd like to see him and Henrique show me something in the playoffs. And this is two good X factors. You know, Henrique's played against the Kings so much in his career, and you know, being with Anaheim too, he knows them. He knows how to play them. I think it's going to be a good series for both, and we're going to be smiling there in 6 to 7 games when Edmonton rolls on to the second round, boys.
Hey,
hello. Now. I like
who's that? Who's that guy behind? Tell him to get the fuck out of there. Oilers win, baby.
We're at Sherwood Ford. We're at a car dealership right now, so there's like just it. Action coming on behind us. People are buying Bronco. And
get him on the mic. I want to get him on the mic. He's got busted mic. Throw him in there, Luke.
We have a broken.
I wasn't busting your balls. I'm saying we're short four, and these guys are moving units here.
That's it. They're moving boards, baby. Let's take one out. Tell them to give me one. Come on now.
Yeah, hey, come up to Edmonton. We'll have you cruising around in a Bronco. We'll do some playoff parades or shit.
I'd love to see a finals in Edmonton, or I watched that Winnipeg last night. I mean, awesome. Canada's due for a finals again. It's due. Just give it to us. It'd be just incredible.
It is. It really is a totally different level. I lied about it being my last question. Every home team won over the weekend. Is there one of the away teams that is now down 1-0 that you're looking at and being like, they are the most fucked?
That have already played?
Yeah, like if the one's down 1-0 here.
Not really, because all the, you know, you're supposed to hold home ice, especially game one is like the most intense game where you have the most build up. I mean, the team that I liked, they got to figure out some things that defensively, but I mean, that Nashville Vancouver game could have went either way. Thatcher Demko again, just, and I kind of called it with UC Saros, a couple of those goals, he played well, but they played well in front of him enough to give him a chance to win. And he just kind of let in a few goals, which he should have had back. But I mean, Thatcher Demko saved him a little bit early on in the game because he could have got out of hand. But that series is going to be an interesting one to watch. If Nashville can steal one, I think it's big. But I think right now, Colorado, maybe that's, you know, I would probably say, actually, you know what? I'm going to scratch everything I said. I think Colorado, because that you ain't going to score 6 on Hellebuck too many times, and that he's going to get better as that series goes on. And I think that was an opportunity. And obviously I tweeted something about it. People are giving me all the fucking stats, and I get it. They played decently enough defensively against the Jets, but the grade A scoring chances that they gave on Georgiev were grade A's, and Georgiev just doesn't have the confidence right now. And you have no backup. Like, you have a kid backup unproven. They need to play way better defensively. And I don't know if they can change their style of game this late in the season. So I think Hellebuck's going to pitch a shutout eventually in the series. It's coming. At least one game he's going to have a shutout or a one goal game. So that was their game to kind of steal. And game two, I don't know. I think they lose, go down 2. I think Jets steal 1 in Colorado, and it could be over sooner rather than later.
Whew, that would, that'd be something. It is a game day for the Edmonton Oilers. Playoff run starts tonight. We got to get you some nation gear. We got to get you an oil. Get you looking nice and oily.
What more? What more do I need to do here? Fuck, guys. Come on now.
We'll sort it out. Right, enjoy the game tonight. Thanks, Jason.
Okay, boys. Let's have a good one. All right. See ya.
Thank you.
Jason Demers. I'm surprised he didn't ask for one of these BP's hoodies. Eh? Maybe he wants to look as fresh as Jay does.
I'm reading the chat, and the chat is buzzing about this hoodie. I feel like I'm a fashion icon right now.
Maybe Demers is a big Wing Wednesday guy. Cheesecake Wednesday, if you're Liam.
Yeah, I mean, eventually I'll just get one with cheesecakes all over it.
Hey, BPs, if you're listening,
cheesecakes, movie theater popcorn.
I like that.
Which people were defending me on that one, Jay. You don't have a microphone,
And now Jay can't defend himself. We got to cruise along with the show and get to some game notes for tonight. It is brought to you by our friends over at Douglas Mattress. You can order today at douglas.ca/OilersNation. Handcrafted in Canada. It is a locally owned and operated Canadian company. And right now, when you order over at Douglas Mattress, every mattress order comes with a free Comfort Sleep Bundle. With that, you get two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, and one mattress protector free with any mattress order. Head to douglas.ca/OilersNation now to buy one. I've been sleeping like a baby, Liam. It's playoff time. You need to get your sleep, your Z's in.
Well, you were texting me while you were away at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You're like, Liam, I cannot sleep.
I need
my Douglas mattress.
Dude, I actually like hate sleeping at hotels now because I like my sleeps at home. Anyways, the Oilers lost both game ones to the Kings each of the last 2 years, and they bounced back and won those series. The Oilers have actually lost, I think it's 7 straight game ones. I believe this dates all the way back. Their last win would have been what? Like Anaheim in 2006?
Yeah, I think it was after we looked. Oh, wait. No, that doesn't make sense.
Did they not lose every game one in 2017?
Well, so 2006, but then they didn't make the playoffs for 10 years. Mm-hmm. They had 7 first rounds since 2016. So they lost
They lost game one to San Jose. They lost game one to Anaheim in that series in overtime.
Oh, is it game one every round?
Yeah. Game one.
So Anaheim.
And then in 2000, or when the year they went to the conference final. Oh, I guess
Chicago, Winnipeg, and then what would it be? LA,
yeah,
Calgary, Colorado.
Lost those game ones.
LA, so it's 8 in a row.
8 in a row.
And Vegas, so it's 9 in a row. Right?
Never mind. It's game one in 2017. I don't know. I messed up the stat. I had it all up with Gregor on his game notes. You can read the correct stats by going to OilersNation.com and read Gregor's 9? Game notes. No one knows.
I think it's 9.
Gregor did point out in his game notes that the Oilers did play the Kings 3 straight consecutive playoffs back in the 90s. 91, 90, 91, and 92. And they won all 3 of them. Jay is now trying to write messages on his phone so he can get takes out on the show. It really is tough.
If only we knew sign language.
I know this means more.
More Jay.
The people want more Jay.
Hopefully that means more.
The LA Kings tonight are going with a bit of an interesting lineup approach in this one. Your phone flipped. Even this doesn't work.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It says,
help me. They can't read it.
It was literally just a blank screen.
It's just a blank screen.
Do you want 5 minutes on the mic?
You want to dial in before we get to our pal Dan Greenspan? He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes time.
Who?
Dan Greenspan. He's the Kings beat guy for NHL.com. He's going to swing by.
This has been the weirdest experience of my life. So many things I wanted to say to Jason Demers.
Anything to get out?
Well, that's now in the past.
Okay.
Anything to get out now? What were we just talking about?
We were talking about when was the last time the Oilers won a game one.
Well, yeah, Tyler effed up that stat, so that's okay. They haven't won a game one in a long time.
Long time.
You know what they say? 6 times, 7 times, 8 times, 9 times, charm, whatever the stat is. Yeah. Add one, that time is a charm.
Sure.
Tonight we set the tone. Are we supposed to do predictions on the series?
Yeah, we can do it. Let's run through. Give me like a safe prediction and a bold prediction.
Safe prediction, Oilers win the series. All right. That is the safe prediction.
That's a good safe prediction. Give me a bold prediction.
They're going to win in 5.
They're going to win in five.
Connor McDavid is determined. And we always say he's determined, but you hear his post-game presser or avail after the practice and just pumped that the practice at the pace it was at and happy to see that. That guy is so determined. And now he's got more ammunition with the roster that's behind him. He's got Stuart Skinner, who's playing good. We've got Ekholm. Oh my God. He single-handedly might just save the day here for us. We got playoff Dry coming. We got playoff Fogle in a contract here, which is a twofer. We got Corey Perry. We got Evander Kane, who's setting the stage to be able to show his worth to the world. This guy is going to make sure, though, that we mean business. He's learned to lose a lot, more than he likes. And we always like to say that Connor is mad. Connor is so mad, but I think he's taken, I don't think he's going to let it cloud his judgment. It's now just fuel in his tank of dominance.
I like that.
So we break the stigma. We win game one, and it's going to go exactly how Jason, the Winnipeg series.
Yeah.
2 at home, split on the road, game 5 win on home ice. Let's go round 2.
Giddy up.
Figured out the stat.
Okay. Liam's got the stat for our friends at Douglas Mattress.
The Oilers' last game one playoff win was against Anaheim in 2017.
There we go.
Was it 16, 17, whatever it was? They were up.
We won both games.
We were up 2-0 in the series and then fell down 3-2. And then went to game 7.
Ah.
Hate to see it.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep cruising along here. There's our game notes for our friends over at Douglas Mattress. I want to talk a little betting because it ties in a bit to what Jay was saying about Connor McDavid going nuclear. Our friends at Betway have a couple of very interesting series props up for this Oilers-Kings series. So let's jump into it, including one, or there's two that I've wagered on. Jay, I'm with you. The Oilers are winning this series 4-1 exactly in five games. And I'm invested heavily. I am also heavily invested in Connor McDavid to score 12 plus points at plus 275. What do we think about the juice on that bad boy, Liam?
Plus 275. Is that what you said?
Two and a half points a game.
2.5 points a game.
My thinking is, if they're going to win it in five, you know, obviously they'll lose one, but I think in the four wins, they'll have like 2 3-point games. And then I also think like a 4-point game, a 3-point game, 2 2-point games. And then you're just there 1 point in the loss. You got your 12. I think he's due for one just monster game in this series. And that's why I was okay. And again, it's not even money I'm getting this at. I'm getting it almost 3-1.
These series against LA too, the last couple of years, haven't been as low scoring as people may remember. Like all six games last year had the Oilers scored three or more goals besides one, which was game three when they lost. They only scored two, but it was 4-3, 4-2, 3-2, 5-4, 6-3, 5-4. So I actually don't mind that. And then the year before, the Oilers beat LA 8-2 one game and then 6-0 another game. So yes, I will go with that. But I think the series goes six, so I think that benefits me more than you.
That actually does help. They have a bunch of really interesting ones. I don't hate Evan Bouchard 8-1 to get 8-plus assists in the series. It's heavy. It's heavy. But if they blow him 8 points, you're right.
What are we looking at for points here? Like, is there just some point ones other than McDavid? Like, what's Draisaitl? What's Perry? Hyman? Anything?
All they have is like the juiced up ones of like, you know, Draisaitl to get 12 plus points is +320 and things like that.
Go back to the point one.
Draisaitl. Right.
Jay wants to see the points one again. Jay's Nuge 10 plus points, +900.
No.
That seems a bit
that
risky.
That seems crazy.
Yeah.
Draisaitl 12 points.
Hyman 10 plus.
Remember, Jay, no one can hear you because your mic's broken.
Hyman 10 plus.
All right. Can we quickly wrap up, just give our picks for tonight, and then we'll get to Dan Greenspan and we'll chat a little bit about the opposition here. We got the challenge. It's back. I came dead last in the regular season.
Shocker.
Heartbreaking fashion. Needed an empty netter in game 82. Didn't get it.
We're going to get it in a 6-1 game. But, is that the final score?
But when I was down in the desert, I was so disappointed about my performance in the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. I took a 40-minute walk through the desert with no water. I allowed myself to hallucinate from the heat, and I found clarity in terms of a betting strategy, Liam.
What is your betting strategy?
Aaron, you can flash up the graphic. I'm just going to bet on Connor McDavid. I think it's foolproof. Connor McDavid to score is my first pick for the playoff edition of the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. Plus 140 are the odds on that boy, bad boy. Remember, he started the first meeting between these two teams in the playoffs 2 years ago. He scored in that game, so that's what I'm using. Jay has a message for you all. He says, let's go Oilers. Thanks, Jay. Liam, your pick for this one. You're keeping it simple, too.
What did I go with?
You went with the puck line.
Okay, yeah.
You made this graphic.
I know. I forgot. Usually, no, I think he'll be, I actually almost went with power play and Jeanette, which would have given me a bit more juice. But the Kings penalty kill is actually pretty solid, so that could be interesting later to this series. So, yeah, puck line, I think it'll actually be a really tight game and just an empty net goal. We'll secure it.
I think that's fair. Do you want to give Jay a mic so he can explain his pick? Jay, you're going money line, dry settle point.
So it's playoffs. It's just about results. So I don't like to get too greedy. Yes, I'll be sprinkling some fun prop bets within it, but it's just about getting the W's. So Oilers money line, you pair that up with a Leon Draisaitl, playoff Leon, a point, just a point for Leon, and you get plus money.
That's solid.
Just keep it simple, just like you want the Oilers to play their game, stick to the roots. Don't try to chase it too much. Same betting logic. It's playoffs. It's all about W's. Celebrate W's.
All right. Shout out to Betway. You can get a free bet right now, up to $200 if your first bet loses. All you need to do is create a new account and redeem your bonus. Simply scan the QR code that is on your screen right now. Place a bet with no minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you'll get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. This offer only available outside of Ontario. We go long because it's the playoffs. We're going deeper than an hour on not just game days, every single show. And we got a second guest joining us today. It is the Playoff Report, and it is brought to you by our friends over at Boston Pizza, where they want you to team up for the cup and end Canada's 30-year drought. Yes, Jay is even rocking the Boston Pizza hoodie. And listen, there's three of us here. We only got two working mics. It's been kind of nonsense for the first hour of this show. We need to get professional. We need to get locked in. And to do that, we bring in Dan Greenspan from NHL.com. Dan, y'all ready for playoff hockey?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me again, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, excited to get the LA Kings perspective a little bit of this matchup. And one thing that I find really interesting going and looking at their lineup over on dailyfaceoff.com is the fact that Jim Hiller, he's really spreading things out in that forward group. Like, he's got Byfield and Dubois on the, I'll use air quotes, fourth line. I see Kevin Fiala listed on the third line. It feels like they're just trying to hit the Oilers with some depth. Do you think these line combinations will stick when it comes to the game? Do you think we'll see Hiller give them a chance to work over the course of maybe one or two games?
Jim Hiller has been very flexible when it comes to his lines. That's been one of the trademarks of his tenure since he took over as interim coach. I think that if he'll try to give them a chance to stick, but if they go down 2-0, he'll swap things up. He is very flexible and he'll do what it takes because playoffs are here and win or go home.
Yeah. And for the Kings, it's a third attempt to try and eliminate the Edmonton Oilers in the first round. When you compare this year's team to last year's team that lost in six games, we know obviously the Dubois trade is a big, big difference, but is there anything under Jim Hiller that this team does differently than they maybe did under Todd McClellan?
I didn't realize this until the other day in practice. The Kings have a substantially different lineup than we've seen the last two playoff series against Edmonton. They'll only have 8 returning starters from 2 years ago and only 13 returning starters from the last game of last year's 6-game Edmonton win. So this is a different group. You know, obviously, we've seen a rookie like Alex LaFerriere come in, a guy who's played in college, been through the ringer of you know, just dealing with that incremental step up from college regular season to NCAA tournament. Now he'll get his first taste of the playoffs. Jordan Spence is a guy who's going to get his first real look in the playoffs. This is a substantially different group. I think the one thing that really stands out, and this is the big X factor for me in the series, is Quentin Byfield. The guy has taken a massive step forward this year. First 20 goal season. You know, you go back to the Kings one win in the regular season. He was just attacking and getting in the right positions and driving offense. And if he dictates in this series, like he is starting to show he's capable of, that might be the thing that tilts this in LA's favor.
Obviously, the last couple of years, this series has gone the Oilers' way. But what's the feeling for the Kings right now? Like, obviously, they feel like they can win. But is it different from what previous years have been?
I think guys have a better sense of what it takes to get things done in the playoffs. You look at, you know, a guy like Blake Lizotte, Adrian Kempe is a lot more experienced. He's really become a leader over the course of the Kings' evolution the past three seasons. Mikey Anderson, guys have a sense of what it takes, and I think they're better prepared, especially if they get a chance to eliminate Edmonton. You go back to the series, the first of the three series, when the Kings lost in 7 games. They came home up 3-2, had chance to knock Edmonton out at home, couldn't do it, and game 7 was a fait accompli. If they're in the same situation this year, I think they're much better prepared, much more experienced, much more mentally locked in for what it would take to knock out a team with two of the, you know, however many handful of players you want to pick, best in the world, you know, 2 out of 6 with McDavid and Draisaitl. They know what it takes, and I think they're a lot more prepared for the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the way things flipped in that first series or 2 years ago in that meeting, and it was the game six win for Edmonton. Tyson Barry obviously scoring late there, but I even think back to last year and that game four in LA where the Kings are sitting there and they just jumped on the Oilers early. Chase Stuart Skinner, they were up 3-0, I believe, in that game. And then Edmonton makes the big comeback. Zach Hyman scores an OT. Kings don't win another game. Do you think there's, and this is maybe a bit of a weird or dumb question because the Kings have won game one in each of the last two series, but is there maybe some heightened importance on them going and stealing a game at Edmonton this time around again? Because if you were to go down 2-0, does that doubt of like, here we go again, kind of start to creep into your mind?
Drew Doughty was talking about this specific question yesterday before they jumped on the plane. And he feels like it's sort of an advantage to start on the road, because if you get that split, you feel pretty good, whereas the pressure's on the home team to take both of those games. So I think that the Kings will feel okay, even if they come out of Edmonton down 0-2.
The goaltending has obviously been something in LA when I think people go and look and say, like, oh, it's Cam Talbot and David Raich. They probably don't think much of it, but like, their numbers are actually pretty good. Do you think this duo is a bit underrated or rightly rated, I guess?
I think they did better than I expected. Obviously, Phoenix Copley started the year as the number two, but tore his ACL in practice in December, prompting the call-up for Rittich, who's been really solid to the point where you go back maybe a week ago, there was legitimate question over who would start game one. But Talbot's the guy tonight, and I think all things being equal, that's who Hiller will ride with. The Kings gambled that they could get good replacement level, above replacement level goaltending without much financial expenditure, and it worked. Obviously, next year, Andre Kopitar's salary comes down, cap goes up. You could see them swing a big move for goaltending in the offseason. But all, considering the low expectations, I think the Kings have gotten pretty dynamite goaltending this season.
Are you a predictions guy? Can we ask you for your prediction on this one, or do you stay out of that kind of nonsense?
I will. The thing that intrigues me is just looking around my outlet, NHL.com, ESPN, The Athletic. I don't think I've seen anybody take LA, yeah, which is, you know, the old, especially I'm a big college football guy. So if you are watching game day on Saturday morning and everybody's taking one team, you zig the other way. So I would not be shocked, given how closely these two teams have fared, that if the Kings could steal the series. My official prediction will be Edmonton in seven, but I think the Kings have a very, very live chance, and I would not be shocked if they make it to round two.
Yeah, you know, obviously this is an Oilers show, Oilers fans. The things that do make me nervous, purely from a vibes perspective, like, it's the old, if they were to play this series 100 times, the Oilers don't win it 100 times. Yeah. Like, eventually, and in playoff series, the margins are just so razor thin. Like we talked about, if the Kings get a bounce in the final 10 minutes of game six 2 years ago, that thing is done. If the Kings get a couple of saves, or if Victor Arvidsson scores on that breakaway on, yeah, Jack Campbell late in the third period in game four last year, that series is cooked and the Kings win. Like, that is something that we kind of forget or gloss over a bit in Stanley Cup playoff action, Dan, is like luck. Luck controls, yeah, so much of this, and this razor thin margin of hitting a post or a shot going in can change an entire seven game series.
Exactly. And the other thing that we really can't account for going in is how the series is going to be officiated. You know, those 50-50, yeah, calls, if those start to become penalties, obviously that plays into Edmonton's favor, given how elite their power play is. If those are play-ons, that obviously you would think benefits the Kings. And the Kings power play has been pretty good of late. And that's something where if they can capitalize and get some goals, get some momentum going, you know, that's another thing that would play very strongly in their favor.
Beautiful. Love the insight, Dan. Enjoy this series. And hey, we'll actually be down in your neck of the woods for, yeah, games three and four as well. So we'll see you then.
Oh, great. Fantastic. See you then.
See you later.
Dan Greenspan from NHL.com. We've had him on a couple of times. Always gives us A-plus analysis is what I would use to describe it. I love his insight.
Never got that Dallas guest back, though.
No, we never got our Dallas guest back. He's our favorite out-of-town guest. Yeah, you roasted our Dallas guest and said their internet sucked. But Dan's internet.
Dan's the best. I texted him today. Tyler texted me and said, we should get a second guest. So I was like, I'll text Dan. Dan the man.
Mm-hmm, as you do.
I texted him within a minute. I didn't even put my phone down and it buzzed again. I was like, I'm in. So
he's McDavid quick with the text. All right.
Respect the Oilers pick.
Jay said
can hear Jay.
Jay said he's glad Dan picked the Oilers to win. It takes bravery. One other thing, actually, by saying bravery. Quick so many times triggered my memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's the third series in a row, of course, and the third time that the Kings have changed their goalie going
quick,
into the series.
Korpisalo, Talbot,
or Rittich.
Do you think we see them both in this series?
Yes.
I think we do, too.
Okay,
let's get to our Around the NHL segment. It's brought to you by DuraGard. For 37 years, they've been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions. The most highly trained and experienced fenced installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment in Alberta. Your one-stop shop for chain link, wood, vinyl, or ornamental fencing. You can request a quote or get more information by going to DuraGardFence.ca. Around the league, gentlemen, tonight, the other series that gets going, Vegas, Dallas. Mark Stone with a grin says, I'm in. And I say, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's, do you know what? Like, I can't believe they fooled us all. Well, they fooled me and you, at least. I can't remember what Jay said, but it was just like, come on. Like, Frank spoke about this on the rundown a little bit today, right? Did he say there could be any changes to the LTIR?
Yeah, he says the fact that Mark Stone is ready for game one and it isn't even like an end of round one, round two kind of thing, he thinks that's going to be enough to spark change. That enough managers and owners from around the league, and I'm paraphrasing Frank here a little bit, obviously, but like there's enough now that are sitting here going, hold up, what the hell? Jay is desperately chomping at the bit for a microphone.
This is where the Evander Kane stuff's annoying, right? Like, if he actually has a sports hernia, just take the 2 months off, man.
Yeah.
And, like, and I know, like, in the team, like, it's a joint decision. It's not all on Evander Kane. But, like, we may as well play the game that the others are playing. Right?
Yeah.
It's just miraculous that lacerated spleen Mark Stone is playing game one, when probably could have played 3 weeks ago.
So that's the thing. Even if it was a week ago, which, like, again, he was practicing in a non-contact sweater, he obviously could have played in one of their final three games. The King or the Golden Knights intentionally held him out. I think this is going to be the one.
It's annoying, and it's whatever. We'll move past and we'll get through it. But it's just, why didn't we do that last year? Why didn't we do it? Why are we doing it this year? Like, this is what the other teams are doing.
Yeah.
It's a copycat league. So follow what they're doing. We could have got Tanev with no salary retained with less whatever, or you could have got him plus or whatever. Think what you could have done with $5 million in cap space.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows if Evander Kane maybe, you know, like...
And we don't know if that's real. Like, it's... Yeah. With the whole Evander... But say it is real and he's been playing through a sports hernia for the last 4 months or 3 months. Like, then we should have just intervened. Same thing with the year before with that wrist cut. Like, you know there's serious nerve damage there.
Yep.
So take your time, you know, and come back and let's use that cap space. Like, you know, Vegas would have done it. You know, that's the thing. You know, Vegas would have done it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's my beef.
All right. Elsewhere, obviously, that series gets going tonight. It is a big one for the Toronto Maple Leafs as they take on the Boston Bruins this evening. They're down 1-0, looking to steal back home ice advantage from the Bruins. William Nylander uncertain for tonight's game. He skated with the healthy scratches today at practice, which usually leads you to believe he's not going to play. But again, it's the playoffs, so you never know. Boston.
Is he hurt or are they making a statement?
Hurt. He's hurt. Okay. Sounds like he woke up on Thursday morning or whatever it was and just didn't feel right and stopped practicing. So it's a weird one for Nylander, man. Islanders, Hurricanes.
Go Islanders, go.
Really?
Well, I said they were going to make the cup finals.
Oh, yeah,
so I really need them to get away.
I think
it was a tight game.
It was a really tight game, but they're all going to be tight games. It's going to come down to one bounce.
Didn't they outshoot Carolina?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
And also, Carolina didn't leave out a stool for Sorokin to sit on.
He just
stood there. I like that.
Yeah, so that's the other game that's happening here tonight.
Remember in LA that when they wouldn't like turn on the lights in time, like they delayed them to start their skate.
Yeah,
and they were waiting. There was no nets, no lights on. Like, this is gamesmanship at their finest. If we can get the numbers to the rooms that the King players are staying in, call it nonstop.
Our playoff coverage here at the network is brought to you by our friends at Boston Pizza. It's been 30 years since a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup. For some teams, it's been a lot longer, and they want to know what it would take for Canadian hockey fans to set aside their differences and work together to end this drought. Here's what it would take. Everybody hopping on the Oilers bandwagon.
Yeah, I will not. Unfortunately, Boston Pizza, thank you very much for all the help you've given us. I can't cheer for Vancouver or Winnipeg. You all come to us, though, because we're going the furthest anyway, yeah. So eventually they'll have to jump onto our bandwagon.
I do have a bit of a soft spot for the Jets.
I do, too, because it looks cool. Like, that wideout yesterday was unbelievable. But one thing, and maybe I'm just not as big of a historian as I thought, I didn't know the Yotes continued the wideout. Maybe it's because they never made the playoffs and we never saw it, but like, I think that's super weird. We're going to steal your team and then steal your traditions.
Because there was no Jets. So when they go to Arizona, there's no Jets, so they carry that on. And then when the Jets come back, of course the Jets fans are going to do the whiteout because it was their thing.
Sean is in as well.
It's tough now, isn't it? Oh, interesting. Just got to sit there and be the person that watches.
Don't make Liam the victim in all of this.
I'm the victim.
You're the victim because you weren't here to test your mic.
Save me. Sean, I'm not a producer.
Sean is in and says,
low-grade talent.
I like seeing the Avalanche lose, so go Jets. Yeah, I'm totally fine seeing
Gorgiev is
stinky.
They should have to go with the other guy. I think they should run the risk of him. You know,
Justice Louis, Anunin?
St. Louis would have never won the cup if Jordan Binnington, they didn't give him a chance. He was really good against the Oilers when they played him the other day. I know it was kind of a nothing lineup, but also made some really good saves. And at the end of the day, like, who was it the other week? We were talking about it. Someone else referenced it, though, that Gorgiev hasn't been the same since he swung the puck over the glass and he got checked out of the game. Like, I saw the tweet yesterday, too, of when someone is going to pull the Tony D'Angelo, go to him like, when are you going to make an effing save? I guess I can drop F-bombs on this, but I'll just be civil.
We do that when Demers is here.
Yes. That's it. Jason, he specifically asked. I don't know what Jay just said.
Jay, you need to buy like 5 new headsets. I don't know what the issue is here, but we'll get it all sorted. They did. They heard it. They got it loud and clear.
They heard the message.
Well, you know, I like to think they can hear it in your voice when they read the messages that you are putting up. If you like today's extended version of the show, get ready because we are doing it every single day for the rest of the week. Frank Saravalli is going to join us tomorrow on the program. He's going to join us to help us break down game one of this series. We got Luke Gazdick a little bit later on in the week as well. Thursday, we're going to have to do things a little bit differently because we are going into the air and flying to Los Angeles to do our shows from LA on Friday. Saturday, we're going to have a special edition of the show that day as well.
Saturday. Oh, yeah, because we'll be there. Game day edition.
Friday is the game day.
Saturday, so we'll just do it.
Yeah, I think Saturday we're just going to do our show as a breakdown. And then Sunday, game day, we're going to do a double pregame show with Board Z. I think we got a bar in LA we're getting set up. So it's going to be like me and you for an hour. And then boom, Board Z's got the pregame show that you know and love. Speaking of that pregame show. Say,
Jay, on the boat again.
Jay said, I can't
sorry,
wait for
I can't
the show.
Hear what this guy next to me is saying. So we just got to keep.
On about me again.
And then obviously tonight. Okay, Jay, here we go.
Stay tuned for the details of us doing our live pregame show in LA at a bar near crypto.com where I will be part of these three and hopefully maybe, just maybe, I'll have a microphone that works. But for those of you that are traveling, stay tuned. We're just working out the details with the bar. It is very close to crypto.com. So come and join us for some pregame.
It's interesting.
Is that how you did that, right? That's I did it right?
That was an awesome ad read, actually.
Oh, thank you.
I have one thing to say, too. Let us know if you're going to be down there. Let us know in the chat right now if you're going to be down in LA.
Yeah, we'd love to see you down at wherever we're doing our pregame show. Jay gets the mic right
Banjo
now.
Banjo guy is staying in our hotel.
Hell yeah.
Banjo guy will be in attendance. That's exciting.
Yeah, we'll definitely do some stuff with
Banjo. Goat is in attendance in Edmonton right now for games 1 and 2. That's exciting. The Utah boys.
We're going to do a real life episode with them in the next 20 minutes here Which reminds me, we should wrap this bad boy up. A big, big shout out to Boston Pizza. And of course, our friends at Sherwood Ford, the Giant. Gentlemen, let's wrap up the show with our keys to victory for our friends at Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. We were out at their grand opening this weekend, and it was absolutely electric. And I heard that they were moving boats left, right, and center. I was talking to one of the sales associates. He was like, dude, I've sold 2 motorcycles already tonight as well. Well, we can't do that segment now because we don't all have mics, Jay.
I can take a mic.
Okay, well, let's do it. It's Keys to Victory for the series brought to you by Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Give me 5 reasons why you think the Edmonton Oilers are going to win
5?
This series here tonight. And I told you guys.
I thought you said 3.
Did I say 3?
5.
Did I say 3 or 5? I must have said 3. I said 3. Give me 3 reasons why the Edmonton Oilers are 3 factors that will contribute to the Oilers winning this series, Jay.
Very simple. It's very cut and dry.
Yep.
And I'm going to do it in reverse order.
Okay, so number 3.
Leon Draisaitl. That's playoff good. Leon is a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said. Number 2, the Viking god Matthias Ekholm, who is probably going to get the Norris snub, most definitely, but probably not getting any votes or recognition. But you want to talk about unsung defenseman in the NHL? Matthias Ekholm. He is a factor, and he's a key to series victory. And number 1, the X factor personified himself in the flesh, Connor McDavid.
Hell yeah.
That's all you need. It's 3 amazing hockey players are going to do amazing things. And I'm sure we can talk, these guys are going to have different answers. And it's great because we're a potpourri of a cast here. But those are my 3.
Liam, do you want to give us your 3?
Okay, I'll start at the bottom and work my way up.
Yeah.
So I'll say my 3rd one is the goaltending battle. I think there's question marks. Like, I know we just spoke with Dan about the duo in LA and how well they actually have done this season. But at the end of the day, Stuart Skinner is better than both those guys. He is our number 1. There's going to be question marks. If LA loses a game, do they switch goalies? So I think having Skinner solidified as our number 1 is a key factor in this. Number 2, I will say the Oilers power play is going to be a big factor because the LA Kings have a very good penalty kill. But if the Oilers can break that, then I think the series honestly could be over, especially with home ice advantage and how good the Oilers power play is at home. Number 1, the Oilers' ability to outscore their problems. Since the turn of the calendar, the LA Kings only have 2 players in the top 50 of league scoring. Kempe and Fiala, and they are 42nd and 43rd in the league. The Oilers have 3, and I think it was the top 15 in Draisaitl, McDavid, and Bouchard. So, and then Hyman's mixed in there somewhere too. So Oilers are going to be able to outscore their problems in this series. If it goes south for them, at least they'll have that.
I like that. For me, number 3, I'll put Stuart Skinner in this slot for me. I have confidence he's going to be good. In the regular season, he's been so good against the LA Kings. Last year's playoffs, I think that was just a young guy getting used and maybe struggling with the pressure and the workload he was given in that first year. Mm-hmm. So I think Stuart Skinner will be much better. That's number 3. Number 2, I'm going to say the Oilers' power play is ready to explode. It has not been its out of this world self this season. It's been great this year. Been one of the best in the league, but it hasn't been that step above everyone else. I think we are due for a stretch where it is that step above everyone else, because I think Connor McDavid is just going to be in a totally different zone with the man advantage. No more, you know, passing it to Hyman and working on Draisaitl. I think Connor McDavid is just going to be taking it to the hoop himself with that man advantage. That's why I like him to score a goal in this hockey game tonight. Number 1, it's depth, depth, depth. We talked with Greenspan about the fact that this Kings team is going lines 1 through 4 deep. That means they have impact players on every line. The Oilers need to have guys who are making an impact on every line to go up against that as well. So those are my 3. Shout out to our friends at Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Pre-gaming with Boardsy gets going tonight at 7:00. Myself and Aaron will be getting ready for that hockey game this evening. Game 1 between the Oilers and Kings. Jay has 1 final message for everybody to wrap up the show.
Could say anything.
Enjoy playoff hockey tonight, everybody. Tune into the pregame show, and we'll talk with you again tomorrow at noon Mountain Time.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.